To begin the program today, for most of the last 2 years, the capital city's publicly owned utility, the Lansing Board of Water and Light, has been under the closest scrutiny ever. The community's harsh assessment of the utility's slow response to power outages following an intense ice storm 2 years ago triggered well over 100 reforms. Now, almost 2 years after the storm, the Lansing Board of Water and Light has issued its final report. It summarizes the reforms, which fall into four broad categories: emergency preparedness, operations, communication, and technology. It was publicly released last evening. To discuss, we welcome David Price, chair of the board that oversees the BWL. Welcome back, David.
Thank you for being here.
And also General Michael McDaniel, chair of the BWL Community Review Team. Good to see you again.
Thank you, Mark. You too.
Let me ask you first, this report is coming from whom exactly? Who assembled this?
The report was actually assembled by the management of BWL. It was the response to the community review team. In addition, the Michigan Public Service Commission had recommendations as well. Mm-hmm. So we thought it was time and appropriate time to tell the community that we took those reports very, very seriously.
Did the board have any input, or was this just the management team?
We've had input all along on this, and this was sort of the, you know, take our pulse. Here's what we've done so far. We've completed many things. Many things will be ongoing, but the fact of the matter is, the response that occurred 2 years ago will not occur again because of these improvements.
There are a ton of questions I could ask, but I want to spend some time on the status of the outage management system. Just last month, a BWL internal audit revealed that it never performed as promised and was described as fragile and unstable by the project manager that oversaw its installation. That system failed during the ice storm, but it is still the system in use at the Board of Water and Light today. It is the utility equipped with an outage management system that the community can depend on?
Yes. The system has been fixed. It has been stress tested to beyond the outage that we experienced in the 2013 ice storm. And we also have in place a manual redundant system in the event that the outage management system has any kind of failure again, although we don't expect that.
General McDaniel, what do you make of the status of the outage management system right now?
I'm still not convinced that it's as robust and has full capability. I mean, the as you mentioned, Mark, the performance audit from just last month said that they need to test it more. That's the same thing we said in our report in May of 2014. And then the second thing is that the backup system is a manual system. We need system redundancy. So they need to have another, I mean, in our business, redundancy is a good thing. Something's going to fail, so you have to have a backup system so that you are still online.
Price did allude to redundancy, though. There is some degree of redundancy built into the system.
Well, they're using a manual backup system. Manual means just that. We're using folks to enter data as our backup system. That's what we ended up doing during the last blackout in December of 2013. That didn't work so well. So there are plans in place to build a redundant electronic system as part of a larger system, but we're not there yet, and the sooner the better with that.
The general's correct, and we support that as a board and as the management staff as well.
So. But General McDaniel, what do you make of the stress testing that Dave Price just referred to here? Is that not enough to convince you that this system is sound, or?
Well, it's stress testing, they're doing it twice a year, spring and fall, so you know, before you hit the two weather event seasons. I'm not convinced that that's enough because I don't think it puts enough focus upon the need for that system. Everything hinges upon that system. You know, if that system's in place, then everything else will fall in line. So there's an awful lot of reliance for the entire system of response to work, that system, and then restoration. That system has to be working in top-notch condition.
But the system, the outage management system the utility has now, is the system that will be in operation,
it's in operation
this winter and next
it's,
winter.
It's in operation right now. And, you know, after we had the internal audit report presented to the board, both the board and management expressed their concern going forward that this is something we're going to have to address. There's no question about it. There'll be additional costs. We don't know what those will be, but it will be at a level where it has a redundancy built in that's not a manual system, and it'll probably replace the OMS with something that's even better. But we're confident at this point that if something occurred today, that system will work. Is it the best system available? Maybe not.
Sounds like General McDaniel doesn't share quite the degree of confidence you do.
And that's okay. We may agree to disagree on this one at this point.
Now, I understand the utility will be getting a new outage management system, but not before 2017. What can you tell us about that?
At this point, it has the RFP has not been created for that system, so we don't know who the potential vendors might be or what that cost is.
Did the BWL's internal audit uncover something that the community review team missed, General McDaniel?
If it did, I'm not aware of it. The internal audit of this past October had three main points. It was the procurement process. It was the need to fully stress test the system. And the third one was the redundant system.
But did the community review team, Were you able to learn how much doubt there was about the GE outage management system during your phase of the investigation? Or did things come from the internal audit that you were not aware of?
Well, certainly there was a frustration on the part of the community review team with the receipt of documents at that point in time. And I don't know that we ever got all the documents that we had asked for. But in terms of the OMS, I mean, in the process there, that's past history in the sense that both the Public Service Commission and the Internal Audit have now agreed with the recommendations that was in the report by the Community Review Team.
I'm curious what we may have known sooner if the audit had taken place sooner. And Dave Price, I take it there was a desire from some board members for an internal audit throughout last year, 2014, but that didn't happen. Why not?
Well, I think we had a different board back then that might not have been quite so willing to revisit the past. But I think there were a couple of us on the board who Dennis Lowney, who is our vice chair this year, kept kind of plugging away at that and saying, this is something we need to look at. This was a key component of the failure in our response to the ice storm. And with some changes on the board, that allowed that to go forward.
One more question about the audit, and we'll move on because there's a lot in the report. Given what the audit clarified and revealed, talk to me about what should determine whether an internal audit like this takes place.
Well, it really falls in the board. The board has three employees and three employees only, and one of those employees, in addition to the general manager and our corporate secretary, is our internal auditor. And the internal auditor functions at the direction of the board. So it was the previous board that didn't see a need, perhaps, to go that way, but the current board and decided, yes, that was something we needed.
What do you make of that, General McDaniel, in terms of the BWL auditing itself?
Well, it's ultimately responsible to, well, first and foremost, the citizens of the city of Lansing, which own the BWL, and then to the customers as well, through the fact that the board has to report to the city council and to the mayor. So I would say, though, that I agree with David that we have a much more empowered board. What the board learned from this event was we can't just accept the report from the general manager, mm-hmm. that we have to question whatever we receive and ask those sort of critical questions, and that's being done.
But did Peter Lark actively resist an internal audit, and is Dick Pefley more receptive to the idea of an internal audit?
I can't respond to the first question because I wasn't, even though I was on the board, those questions weren't raised when I was on the board then. So I can't say that there was resistance. I will tell you that under Dick Pefley, anything we have brought to him for whether it's an internal audit, any kind of audit, he is more than receptive and more than open to any questions we have from any board members or from the internal auditor.
David Price is chair of the board that oversees the Board of Water and Light. General Michael McDaniel is chair of the BWL Community Review Team. Lots of reforms to look back on here. On what appears to be a related note, the utility is adding more than 300 spotters to watch for down lines. That's from among existing employees. Talk to me about that.
It was one of the criticisms from the community review team is we didn't have enough boots on the ground trying to figure out what happened. The outage management system had failed, so then you have to have people out there. So we have trained our own staff, people who don't necessarily normally work out in the field, but they are trained to go out and be spotters, and then the spotters can then call in and say, here's the issue in this neighborhood or that neighborhood, and then we can direct the repair teams based on what those spotters are telling us.
General McDaniel, does that soften any doubts you might have about the outage management system, that we have hundreds of spotters now employed in looking for downed lines?
I'm still concerned that that could be a bottleneck, and here's the reason. We are talking about having individuals out there on the ground. You still have to have all that information then from them collected either electronically or manually by a phone call, and then it's got to be recorded by a person. It's got to be put into some sort of spreadsheet. That's an unwieldy system. That's what we did in December of 13. So it is definitely a step forward in this way, because by training all of their staff as spotters, they have changed the corporate culture. Everyone on BWL realizes that if we have an outage of significance, it's all in. Everyone's engaged. Everyone's trained. Everyone knows that if there is an emergency or some form of outage event, that they will be involved. So that's really changed the corporate culture with that training, with understanding that they always have a role. But it's still a manual system. The idea is, and was in our recommendations, that they would do smart metering, that you would have a system so that as soon as the power is out at an individual residence through smart metering, they would know that electronically. And that is much more efficient, much, much quicker, and will add to a greater response. That system is being factored in. They've started with a few thousand homes thus far as a pilot. They have plans to move that forward over the next 6 years. I absolutely applaud that. It's definitely the way to go. There's been some community resistance, but smart metering is absolutely the way to go. Mm-hmm.
Will the management continue to respond to the kinds of doubts that General McDaniel is expressing here, or are you going to agree to disagree?
No, we value the general's opinion greatly. And last night, I think you saw the response. The general said some of these same things last night at the community meeting, and there was a lot of nodding and agreement coming from the management team of BWL on these issues.
What was the report largely about satisfying somebody? Was it largely about satisfying you, General McDaniel, or the mayor or the city council?
Oh, I don't think so at all. Certainly there was a reference to specific recommendations in the community review team's report, but it was mostly to let the public know the BWL steps forward in terms of both preparedness and in terms of innovation. Overall, I was very, very impressed with the strides that they have made in the last year and a half, no question. For example, it's not really in the report, but one of the things that was specifically mentioned last night was that as part of the $100 million improvement to transmission and distribution, we're going to smaller but more substations. So we are creating sort of a micro network. And the good thing about that is if you lose one little substation of 10 megawatts or so, then you've got all the others. You won't have the cascading effects where one substation goes down, then the other one has to take on that load as well, that power demand as well. By doing that, they are creating these little pocket grids by neighborhood almost, and that will make a much more robust system.
Mm-hmm. David Price, we have regrettably too little time to address this topic. Let me give you a chance to just summarize what was in the report and how you feel about moving forward.
Well, sure. I think a couple of things that are critical. One, we hired Trent Atkins from the city as our emergency manager. We didn't have that in place. One of the criticisms wasn't just how the BWL responded, but how the communities around us and that are part of us responded. That's being addressed. Trent is developing partnerships so that we have a coordinated and consistent response if we're ever faced with an emergency like this again. Operationally, more boots on the ground, more tree trimming. We have 37 crews out trimming trees. There were 2,400 lines brought down during the ice storm. Those were all brought down by tree limbs that broke because of the heavy ice load. So that has been addressed. We have more agreements with other power companies to respond with us if there's an emergency. And we have contracts in place for private entities that can come in as well. We go into emergency mode days before a potential outage event, a storm. So, and at that time, those contractors are put on alert. They're sort of wed to us until we release them. So,
General McDaniel, yes.
One last point. Remember that this is a publicly owned utility, the largest in the state of Michigan. And what is unique about the Board of Water and Light is that we have the ability to generate all our own power. We are not dependent upon outside power. That is a wonderful thing, that we are energy self-reliant in this area. We should be attracting businesses based upon that we can guarantee that they will have all the power that they need, and we can do it at lower than market cost.
Is the community review team's work done at this point, or is there a role for the CRT in the future?
Well, I'd like it to be done, but Dick Peffley, the general manager, asked me to continue on when I raised a few suggestions last night, one of which is, how do we assure that our community understands the need for energy self-reliance, and how do we build out this new improved transmission and distribution system over the next 6 years?
We want to thank General Michael McDaniel, Chair of the Board of Water and Light Community Review Team, also David Price, Chair of the Board that oversees the BWL. We've been talking about the final report, the challenges that have been addressed, the challenges that remain. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you, Mark.